So welcome to River Park Grace. We are what's known as a church. So if you are curious, that's where you are. You're at a church. You're in a church. You're with other people that make up a church. And this morning, I'm going to be talking actually from Philippians. I changed it from James. Oh, so you did not ruin anything, which is fantastic, Doug. But I'm going to be talking from Philippians 2. And I'm going to talk through this many, many times, but basically, this is kind of an explanation of what church is, and so this will help explain a little bit of who we are. And speaking of, hi, I'm Megan Chandler. Moving on. Aw, hi. Good morning. Okay. I feel like there's like a rat's nest. Never mind, it's not important. I'm not going to be having anything come up on the screen. I'm going to just be reading this. You feel free to follow along on your device of choice, be it paper. So I'm going to go ahead in Philippians 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, an intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only my presence, but now much more my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. So I urge you to rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. We don't typically do series here. We kind of just do one-offs, but inadvertently, I'm kind of going to be doing one. So if you missed last week we talked about space. Space specifically as in making space in your life, making time. And what that looks like prayer. And this week, we're going to be going on to a part two. And part one, space, that was talking about prayer, was about increasing your ability for empathy. Increasing your ability to see God in others. And this week is more about how do you make that empathy known? How do you show this to someone else? And this week was a little bit hard for me deciding what I was going to talk about to this point. So like all good speakers, I thought I could steal or I could recycle, something that I've already done. I chose to do a little bit of both. So about 3 years ago, I was involved in Michiana's Ignite Michiana? There we are. And I did a talk, and it was a talk on, well, the name of it was Stop, Collaborate, and Listen. because whenever you can reference Vanilla Ice, you really should. It's just best. I find he's a unifying figure. Never mind. Moving on quickly from that. And one of the reasons that I was wanting to do this, in the middle of Ignite Michiana, which I thoroughly enjoy, I think it's wonderful, but I noticed that there was this theme that seemed to be happening. There was a lot of, for lack of a better word, there were a lot of people talking. No one was listening. But they were talking really, really loudly. And I thought, there's something being missed. So I decided I wanted to do this talk about listening. Specifically, kind of a talk about what listening is. And what listening is kind of an invitation to two different worlds. There's my world that I live in, and then there's all y'all's world. I'm going to just lump that in together, into that other thing that I care less about. All of y'all's world. There's your world, and then there's mine. And listening is this time when you actually kind of meet. And what does that look like? I'm going to read a little bit from Philippians again. He existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he instead emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I would notice with some of these people when I would be talking with them, especially when they would get going, whatever their biggest project is, they would get that half-crazy eye look. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you'll be talking with them. It's not full-on crazy. You don't feel unsafe. But it would be that kind of crazy eyes, and especially, you could tell they weren't there. Like, they weren't fully present at all with you in that moment when they crossed over to kind of crazy-eyed place. And I was trying to figure out, how do you get past the crazy eyes? But I was wondering what is it that we're trying to do when we're listening? And I think listening, a better definition of it is this, that listening is humility personified. Listening is admitting that your understanding is limited. I'm going to say that one more time. So listening is understanding that your understanding is limited. That you don't know the full story. One of the things I was talking about in my 5-minute talk that I did for Ignite, but like one of those that you know when you're talking to someone and they're kind of on bated breath because they're waiting to get their thing in, which lets you know they didn't hear a word of whatever you just were saying because they're just waiting to get like, oh, no, but the... Because they know that their knowledge that they have is much more important than whatever words are coming out of your mouth at that moment, right? Because it's not just listening to get an answer to something. But it's kind of listening to join these two worlds, these two stories. And what do we see in this story of Christ? What do we see in this world? We see a God who did not consider equality, did not consider power, did not consider position to be something that needed to be shouted, but instead humbled himself to become one of us. And we're messy. As Mom said, everyone poops. And not just with our bodies. There's mental poop. We have all the poops. We have all of the ways that we are just not set apart and clean, right? And he humbled himself to be one of us. He joined into our story. We didn't join into his. God joined into ours. And one thing I've noticed about people, especially children, it's easiest to pick it out in, but in adults, definitely, we are devourers. That's a word. Devourers.
Yep.
Of story. We love it. My kids have a tendency at night, they definitely want you to read stories, but they really prefer if you make up a story. And man, that's, Jacob tries to trick them. He's horrible. He will go and he will try to tell like storylines from movies he knows that they have not seen. He tried to do Goonies one time. It was hilarious. Anyway, but they are like, this is coming too easily. Nope. Make it harder, Dad. But we love stories. And the sheer volume of television that we all watch is proof to that. The investment that we're willing to join into these other people's stories, and we love that. There's something that we are made to work within, with a story. I had someone ask me to fill out a survey this week. Have you ever been asked to fill out surveys? Like after an experience, like you go, this was an audition stuff, and they're like, hey, here's a survey, and you're like, oh, okay. I never wanted to do a survey. Does anyone ever want to do them? Amanda, God bless you. It's either gonna be you or Liberty. I could see Liberty really enjoying doing this. I know, okay, well, yay for you. I don't like doing surveys. I don't like doing surveys because I'm going through it and I feel like there's an answer they want me to be giving. Like there is a desired outcome for why they have this survey. I'm like, and I don't know what that is, so I can't speak to that well. I'm like, and every answer that I give, I feel like it's only telling a little bit. It's not giving the full range of what my experience was. I want to tell the whole story. Because if you take out a piece, it misses something. And I was listening to this podcast, go figure, This American Life, this last week. And they were doing this study. Well, they were discussing a study that had been done. And it was in Florida. And they were doing a new way of going around trying to canvas neighborhoods to change people's opinions for different, what do they have in Florida? Different things that you vote on that go to the legislature. Bills, but it's the public voting. Not important. Moving on. So they were going around, and so it'd be like candidate canvassing, but this one is specifically on topics. So they were doing it in Florida, and they were having one that was about changing or making sure the people were not going to change. I don't remember the exact wording of it, for transgender relations. Going door to door and just talking with them, and they were trying a new way of doing this. So the new way of doing this was instead of trying to convince via argument, or via information, or via some kind of little video to show them everything. Instead, what they would do, and all of the canvassers were taught this instead, you go to the door, you let them know why you're there, and then you let the person who lives there talk. Let them share their experiences. Hear what their story is. And they've actually found this to be the most effective way of changing people's minds, is not you're telling yours, but allowing someone else to tell theirs. It's an odd thing, right? That joining in to a story. Because there's something about stories, and like in a survey, because you feel like even though they'll tell you there's not, like there is a right and a wrong answer. There is something that they're going for. But in a story, especially a personal story, this is just your experience. There's not right. This is what was true. And you're just sharing what was true. So when you ever get talking to crazy eyes, and you'll notice that moment, and they go out, and they're not fully there. Because when you join a story, you're letting somebody else a little bit into your world, right? And if you see those eyes, it's probably because they don't feel safe letting you in. There's a study that was done by Google trying to discover what the best way for teamwork to develop was, the best attributes of a efficient but just healthy team dynamic, like what is the best things. And they had this top fives, but the top one was one they did not see coming. And that's always nice when a study has new information you don't see coming. But the one most predictive attribute for a healthy team is psychological safety. When you feel like it's a place where you know it's okay to fail. When it's a place where you know that you're not going to be thrown under the bus because this last thing didn't go right. You know that everyone else knows that you are a whole person coming into this. That you'll have your good days and you'll have your bad, and that they are there for all of it. So how can we help people feel safe? We help them by listening to their story. Really listening. Then, when we listen to the story, these worlds, these two little worlds, they let you in a little more. There's this Einstein quote I saw this week, which I didn't write down. Wait. No, I did. There's an Einstein quote that said, excuse me, all of my mints go flying. He said, it's not that I'm smart, I just stay with the problems longer. Which I appreciate that. But every once in a while I think, I'm a pastor, and I don't know if I should be. I'm not extremely pastoral. So I kind of was trying to change this in my mind. It's like, it's not that I'm pastoral, I just stay with the story longer. There's more information out there than you know. They're the completely narcissistic, broken, trying to break you people. That is much rarer than we want to think it is. It's just other people trying to make it through life. And if we'll sit and we'll listen, we'll get to know that. Because, oh, and here's where I'm stealing. Andy Stanley, if you don't know him, he is a pretty well-known preacher down in Alpharetta, Georgia, I believe. And he says, has this one thing, because there's two ways you can listen. You can passively listen whenever something comes along the way. I'm using that word incorrectly, but you're going to be with me on it. Passively listening is that when you are with someone, you are listening. But then there's, I'm going to call it actively, and again, I'm ruining the definitions of these words, but in this, when something goes wrong, when there is a time where you have an expectation and that expectation is not being met, there is a gap that exists. I'm going to call this time an opportunity for actively listening, for going out and saying, there's this gap. I don't know why there's this gap. Tell me the story of why there is this gap. And the Andy Stanley theft is this, because anytime you have a gap, you have two opportunities. You can either fill that gap with doubt and mistrust, or you can fill it with trust. Right? So if you go and you find there's this gap in expectations, it is easier. I'm not going to pretend like it's not easier to fill it with doubt. It is. Actively expanding your world, or even just breaking down the walls of your world to allow someone else in, is hard. It's work. It's not what we want to do. But it's also inaccurate, right? Also kind of a lie. When we're sitting out there and we're claiming that these other people are evil and idiots and cruel, then we just are choosing not to hear their story. We're just choosing not to. That does not speak to a humility that was shown to us by Christ. Because trust wants to understand the story. Because trust believes that there is a good answer to that story. So here's the secret, right? The not subtle and easily understood secret. The secret is that there's not two worlds. There's not just my story and y'all's story. It's the story. It's our world. It's just the one. And the more we keep trying to divide it and make it just ours. I don't want to make Sunday mornings about self-help, but that doesn't help you either, right? Believing in a world that everyone else is intentionally causing harm because of willing stupidity, that doesn't help you either. But because this is a time where we look to Christ and we look to his pouring out as an example, we don't believe this to be true. We have a God who became man for us. And not just man, but died for us. I'm going to go into a time of communion. And we practice open communion here at River Park Grace, which means if you feel so led, please participate. I like to challenge you sometimes with these things, and you feel free to accept or reject said challenges as you want. There's a question I want to ask, and it seems like such a me trying to be an ass kind of question, but if you don't want to know the full story, when there is a gap and you don't want to know, what are you afraid of? There's got to be fear there, right? And maybe this time of Christ, who gave up all power in whatever mysterious way that is, who gave up dominion for us. What are you fearing you're going to lose? So as we come to the cross, I'm sorry, if you notice me doing like the sighs into myself, because these are sighs to myself, right? If I ever seem like I'm talking at you, I'm not. I'm talking to me. Talking to me about those relationships where you still have allowed them to wound you past when they should, right? And why have I not wanted to find out more of that story yet? I'm not saying it's always going to be the healthiest thing to reach out. I know that is not the case. This place, I hope, will be one that you will feel safety here in the midst of those kind of relationships. That we will walk along with you as you want to figure that out. But as we go in this time of communion, I would ask, I would challenge you to think, is there a place where you just don't want to listen? And I'm not going to pretend like there's an immediate, easy answer to that. But maybe looking at it for a second will be useful. And come to the cross. Come to this time of communion, this time of renewing of life. And see if maybe there's a different way to go. Maybe this could be a time to listen, to put a little bit more trust in the gap. Because our God, who had no reason to trust us, us sinners and wrathful folk who would run and run and run away, died for us anyway. And we kind of put him there. And he loved us through the whole bit. Dear Lord, we want to hear you this morning. We want to hear whatever it is we're meant to hear from you this morning, God. Help us make space, the edges of our world, to reach into others. Help us to take a moment and feel, know, expect some trust, God, in a unknowable way. We thank you for a sacrifice, undeserved, and most of the time, a sacrifice not well understood, precious Father. But I thank you for being a God who wants to be for us. As broken, broken souls, help us to know you so we can reach out for others. In your precious and holy name. Amen.